Thank you, Father God, for the work of God in our lives. Thank you, Father God, for still the work of God that you're doing and beginning to do in this nation. Thank you, Jesus, that you still set people free. Amen. Thank you, Father God, that you still bring peace in Jesus' name. Lord Jesus, we thank you that we know without a doubt that you are the answer for all that ails this nation and mankind. So thank you for stirring hearts. Thank you for vision in our lives today. We thank you for that. We honor. So Lord, we want to hear what you want us to hear. Nothing more, nothing less. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. So in talking about this prophet Ezekiel, we're in chapter 37, and we just gotten a few verses, and really today, if we get to where I'm hoping we'll get, we won't get but to verse 5. So we want to do some methodically going through this as the Lord leads us. Sound awesome? So let me say, with Ezekiel, Old Testament prophet, one of the major prophets, along with Isaiah and Jeremiah. But he was a contemporary of a couple of what they call the minor prophets, because they're not minor in what they had to say, but that they were smaller, shorter books. And so with Ezekiel, there was Zephaniah. You've heard of the book of Zephaniah? Have you heard of the book of Hezekiah? Well, there's no book of Hezekiah. I just want to see if you're awake. So if you're ever wanting to make up scriptures and give them to your friends, you just say it's in the book of Hezekiah, chapter 3. Verse 1, right? So Zephaniah, Habakkuk, Daniel, and Jeremiah were contemporaries during a time with Ezekiel. And during this time is when Israel, actually, this is the time where they were carried off into captivity from the Babylonians. So a lot of what they had to, that they prophesied at that time had to do with what was going on in Israel at this time, but it was always it was also prophesying about the future. And let me tell you this, history always repeats itself. There's nothing new under the sun. So even some of the things that we're going to read today, it's just mankind and what happens with mankind that repeats itself time after time after time if they want to do things outside of God. Amen? And I think in some ways, you can disagree with me, but hear me out today, that sometimes I liken to where the United States is today, and I'll explain some more, where it has come today. I know we got a church, we got believers, but I'm talking about it's just general overall. You know, I feel like the U.S. in some ways has come to where Israel was at one time. And see, for us to come into a revival or come into growth, or see people change, or see a generation change, I'm telling you, we have to see that and realize that to have a fresh vision for what God is going to do and is doing in this generation. Amen. And so in Jeremiah, Yahweh is portrayed as one who reveals himself primarily through his word. If you've ever read the book of Jeremiah or Lamentations. Whereas in Ezekiel, Yahweh is presented in visions of God. Ezekiel had 6 visions that are described in the Word. And if you read Ezekiel 1, that's a wild vision he has. Right? And so in cherubim with 4 faces on each side of them. And feet like cattle. And then floating through the air and underneath them having these wheels. And within the wheels are these other wheels. And within those wheels, inside that wheels, are that said it's covered with eyes. And so he's seeing these things, and he sees these things while he is in captivity, by the way. Ezekiel 1:1, I want to read. Ezekiel 1:1 says, "Now it came about in the 13th year, on the 5th day of the 4th month," in Ezekiel 1:1, "while I was by the river Chebar among the exiles, the heavens were open, and I saw visions of God." Let me just say this, that Ezekiel's not in a good place along with the other children of Israel at this time. There was complete and utter hopelessness. And let me just say this, you can be in the toughest spot of your life and God still reveal wonderful things to you. Sometimes we get in the difficult situations or circumstances, it's easy to scramble within our own mind and within our own capacity, amen, with our intellect or our emotions to try to figure out something within ourselves. But I'm telling you, it's during that time that when you look to the Lord, God does amazing, miraculous things in your and my life. And let me tell you, that's exactly where Ezekiel was. When God began to show him this vision and other visions, He was in a tough place. Could you imagine he used to live in Israel? Maybe it was in Jerusalem or somewhere in Israel, and then all of a sudden you are surrounded. Amen. Your town is pillaged, and then you are put in chains and you're sent off to a strange country. And it's during this time that Ezekiel, God starts revealing himself to Ezekiel. Excuse me, I'll get there. The motor will get running pretty soon. Takes a minute to warm it up. That stuff you put in the carburetor to get it to kick over, right? And so it's during this time that God begins to speak to Ezekiel. Let me just say this. He wasn't speaking to Ezekiel in that book just so Ezekiel can say, look at the awesome things that you show me. No, they were written down for that you and I can benefit from it today. Once again, saying that what nothing new under the sun. Things that we see in this nation, it's nothing new. Amen. But it's nothing new to what God does during that time as well. Hallelujah, hallelujah. So you could be in the toughest time in your life and God will reveal himself to you in wonderful ways. It's often in a time of transition or difficulty that we can really tune into the Lord. You ever done that? And things would be pressing you. And when things are pressing against you, you've got some decisions. Lord, I'm going to look into your promises. I'm going to trust you for what you can and will and are doing in my life. Or we can look to other things. You ever been there? We've been there. So we have those choices. It says God reveals and wants to speak to you and I in this generation. Let me just say this. God takes care of it. But him revealing himself to you has nothing to do with your bank account. It has nothing to do this morning with your health struggles that you're believing God to heal you and do things in your life. He's still with you. He's never left you. He's beside you. Amen. He's a brother that sticks closer, or he's a person that sticks closer than a brother. He lives. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. Doesn't matter the health struggle. You could be dealing with a broken heart issue with a relationship. It could be a tough job situation. You could be thinking about your age, saying it's too late for me to do anything. You could be thinking about your age, your children, etc. You could be thinking about all these things. And the wonderful thing is the Holy Spirit all this time be speaking to you, bringing peace, showing you who he is through his word, what he's done for you, and reveal what he's going to do in the future. I love that about the Word of God. Reveal, he says, I did it before, and I shall do it again. I've done it before, I'll do it again. Hallelujah. You know, so God wants to speak to us and through us. It seems politically correct now to be hopeless. It's okay to be bored, indifferent, to speak negatively, right? It's expected whether you are a Republican or a sinner. Or what's that? Republican? Oh. Where did I get
that from? Isn't that in the Bible? Okay.
Oh, publican and sinner. Excuse me. So regardless, it's expected to always be speaking of what is wrong in society. And that's okay because, you know, when we speak wrong about what's going on in society, it makes us aware of what's going on, right? We've had several, 2, 3, 4 years now for you and I to speak about what is wrong with this society. Just turn on the news, man. If it's not bad news, it won't bring in viewership, right? If you want to have, they had a news station that tried to just give the good news, and it didn't work. No viewerships. And so when you see all of that, when you see in society, we got to make sure because it can be looked down on. I know it's not here, but just think of this. It can be looked down on to be excited in church. We're okay now to worship the Lord and give the golf clap, right? You know what the golf clap is? So it can be looked down on to be excited in church. It can be looked down to have demonstrations of the Holy Spirit in church. We have to be willing to step out of our comfort zones to blaze new trails today. In the natural and in the supernatural. Amen. I had to say it because when we, if I can mention, I want to mention this again, Sean, but on Halloween, a group, Sean got a group of guys. I was part of that. And I know I've mentioned this on a Wednesday, and if I've mentioned it to you already, please let me do it again. But he said, we're going to Prescott, Halloween. We're going to hand out tracts and different things. And I said, I'll come. But I was thinking, how's that going to work? How's that going to work? People are busy with their kids. I could see him say, I don't want to be bothered with that. And so we went, didn't we, guys? The guys that were here, huh? Leonard Leroy and some others. And so there's downtown Prescott, there's a particular road that they block off, and they bus in people. What's that main? The main Mount Vernon. And all these people, I mean, tons of people. And then I started out with me and Sean going to a park and talking to people, mostly young people. And I was amazed how receptive they were, right? I was amazed. And then so these other guys are handing out tracts. I'm just kind of surprised how receptive are people. And then Sean he carries all his tracts in a cooler. He said, well, I want to show you what I'm going to do. So we were right in the middle of the road where everything's closed off, and he jumps up on this cooler. I thought, this is going to be interesting. And so Sean had this way of, he said, hey, anybody here can answer some questions. I want, if you can answer them, I'll give you money. And so all of a sudden, all these people, oh. But he started asking questions, you know, what's the most popular language in the world? He started asking these questions, and then he started saying, hey, has anybody here ever told a lie? And these different things, and different questions, and then you see the crowd thinning out. But there was this one particular gal who just stood there with, she was pregnant. She had another baby, I think it was her mother, somebody there with him, and she just locked in and answered every question, then prayed with Sean. See that? See, I'm thinking of what it was like 10 or 15 years ago. I didn't think that would have worked here. But God is doing new things. See, there's a new hunger. We'll talk about when your bones are so dry. See, the gospel is water to the soul. The water is gospel to the soul. I've even talked to other individuals, not talked to other individuals, but seen videos where this guy would go to Pakistan or another country, and you would think, man, you better not preach the gospel. But it's so dry. The bones are so dry. They're the soul so withered. No hope that as this gentleman began to preach the gospel, people started coming around him. They didn't realize, but what they were saying, like the lady at the well, is, I need living water. They didn't even realize it. They know they needed something. So when things become so dry, mindful that things that maybe didn't work 10 or 15 years ago, or things you said, this will never work, man, this is a new day. God is doing new things, and the Lord is saying, do you behold that I'm doing new things to touch this generation? Vision of that dry bones. Let me read a couple of scriptures and we'll get into this. Are you hanging with me? So Ezekiel 37, 1 and 2 says, the hand of the Lord, this is Ezekiel saying, the hand of the Lord was upon me. So he is writing down something that happened about 2,800 years ago that is still life and still truth for you and I today, for the Gentile church and for the Jews alike. The hand of the Lord is upon me, and he brought me up by the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of the valley. So he set me down in the middle of the valley. We read this last week, and it was full of bones. Can you see it in your mind? Do you have an imagination? Can you see a big valley? A deserty valley. No life in this valley. Full of these bones. He set me down in the middle of the valley, and it was full of bones. But it says, and he had me pass among them. So he was walking around. The Lord is having him pass around. Say, basically, the Lord is saying, Ezekiel, take a good look at these bones. Take a look at it. Soak it in. Look at these bones. See what I see. He's basically saying, Ezekiel, see what I see. And he had me pass through all around. Behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley. And behold, they were very dry. And we talked about that last week, right? If you've ever been hiking or out in the woods, you can see some dry, some bones. You're like, yep, this is an animal. And then you see some that are very dry. And you're like, how long has these bones been out there? And so when you see they're starting to decay, they're completely white. They're not, there's no moisture content with them at all. They are completely dry. This is a vision of the bones that has been dead for a long, long time. So they were dry, bleached, decaying bones. So this is something that happened a long time ago. And then verse 3 says, then he said to me, so God talking to Ezekiel, he said to me, son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, Lord God, you yourself know. Or basically he was saying, other versions say, Lord, only you know if these bones can live. But did you notice that the Lord asked him the question, can these dry bones live? And it's the same thing in this generation that the Lord God is speaking to you and I, because it is all about people. He loves people. Amen. He loves every person that draws breath. Doesn't matter their lifestyle. Doesn't matter what's going on. He loves them. So the question he's asking you and I this morning as we go through this, can these bones live? Can the dry bones of the young kids in the high school or on your job or downtown or wherever you are, dry bones means those that have no hope, no purpose, void of God, know nothing about God, been dry for maybe a generation or two, not even an ounce of the presence of God in their lives in any way, shape, or form. So they're not just dry bones. They are very, very dry bones. And he says, only you know, Lord, if they can live again. You know, the answers Ezekiel could have given or spoken of course not. Ask yourself on this regarding people you work with or people that you know or family members or children that belong to you. Let me ask you this question, because he asked him, he said, Ezekiel, can these bones live? And he says, only you know, Lord. But Ezekiel could have given or spoken these words, of course not. These bones are beyond repair. Or at the resurrection, perhaps, Lord, at the resurrection, maybe in the future, maybe sometime, maybe these bones can live again. So Ezekiel's having this supernatural vision, but it had been a generation since there had been any spiritual life in Israel. Why were these bones dry? Well, wasn't in the natural valley full of dry bones? See, he was having a vision. He was having a vision of dry bones, spiritually dead, hopeless people. Not only dry, but very dry. No hope. Without a chance. Does that sound like part of maybe society today that you would think when you look and you say, man, that's very dry bones? Ezekiel's having this supernatural vision, but it had been a generation since there had been any spiritual life in Israel. You think of all the past moves of God when Moses brought them through the Red Sea, right, and through the wilderness. Amen. And think of Elijah and Elisha and King David. Think of all the powerful moves of God. Those have all been in the past, and now we're in this situation with Israel where it's been a generation since God was even thought of basically in the right way in Israel. How do we know? Well, let's read that. How do we know? The obvious question when we read, let me just say this, when we read about this vision in Ezekiel 37, why the dry bones? How did this valley become full of death and dryness? So let me just say real quick, as we're moving through, we know the bones are dry. We know they're very dry. We know there had been a generation, there had not been a move of God in Israel, because that's why where they're at, where they're going to go into captivity, amen, under that old covenant of blessings and curses. But the question is, what happened that these bones became so dry? And I think we find the answer. And I think it's the same today in areas and parts of society in America as what Jeremiah says in chapter 2. If you could read it with me. Jeremiah chapter 2, 10. 10 through 13, as we're saying, why these dry bones? What happened? So God is talking to Jeremiah. Stick with me if you can as we methodically go through this. God's talking to Jeremiah. He says, go west across the sea to the coast of the Cyprus and Sea. Take a look, he's saying, Jeremiah. Send someone east to Kedar and have them look carefully. See if such a thing as this has ever happened. Has a nation ever changed its gods, even though they are not really gods at all? But my people have exchanged me, their glorious God, for a God that cannot help them at all. Let me continue. It says, do so because my people have committed a double wrong. He's talking to the children of Israel here. They have rejected me, the fountain of life-giving water. So what's the opposite of dryness? Water. What's the opposite of dryness? Water. Life-giving water from the Holy Spirit. See, he's prophesying even here, Jeremiah, what you and I experience today, which out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. He's prophesying both to Jews and Gentiles that you can only be saved by putting your trust and faith in Jesus Christ as the Holy Spirit comes and lives in you. Amen. And out of your belly flows rivers of living water. That's good news. We could shoot off of there and go for a while. But we won't. And listen, this is continue the sentences. And they have dug cisterns for themselves, cracked cisterns that can't even hold water. So what it is they had turned away from God. He says, go to and fro the world, he's saying to Jeremiah, and see if you can find a nation that has turned away from their foundation. He's saying, I am the God of Abraham. I am the God of Isaac. I am the God of Jacob. I am the God of the 12 tribes of Israel. But he was saying to Jeremiah, he says, go and see if anybody has turned away from their God. And they'd have dug cisterns for themselves. You know, cisterns, these are wells. These are things where people are looking for life. People out there whose bones are dry, very dry, digging wells, looking for something to satisfy their souls. Every type of lifestyle you could imagine, they're looking for water. But they're only broken cisterns. They won't hold water. They won't bring satisfaction. They won't liberate your soul. Man, they won't bring joy. They won't bring strength. But people will dig and dig and dig and find nothing as the water that they think they have just leaks out. It doesn't bring satisfaction. One or two days, you could be looking for something to bring you joy and strength in your life. Any type of lifestyle, any amount of money, any pursuit you have. Find out that it was just a cistern, a well that didn't hold water. And so that's what Jeremiah is saying here. He's saying, basically, but Jeremiah is saying, they had turned from looking to me, their creator, and looking to other gods to bring satisfaction. And that's why they were in this situation where there was these dry bones. Does that make sense? Romans 1:23 says this, and they exchanged the glory of the indecorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible mankind, of birds, four-footed animals, and crawling creatures. All these things turning to God in society for something to say, no, this isn't the way. This will bring satisfaction. This is what you're looking for in society. But as we know in Jeremiah 2, it just brings dryness. It brings death. It brings no joy. These cisterns, I believe, represent these dry bones, these cisterns, wells. These dry bones represent a generation that has turned away from the life-giving water of God and turned to their own made-up gods. They have turned to other things to find satisfaction, life, and purpose. But all it does, saints, and what it's done in this nation is produce dryness. Dryness. I'm going to read some things that, you know, prayer out of school. I'll read a few things later. Used to be Bible reading in the schools. Did you know that? Where they removed discipline out of the schools. So we replace it with this. Evolution. Amen. But who created the heavens and earth? So evolution is going to do nothing but produce dryness. Much dryness. Global warming, amen. Worshiping the earth. You can do that all you want, but it will not produce living water from your soul. Amen. Socialism, communism, the new God of the age. Man has the answers. Let me do what I want. Don't tell me anything about God. Don't tell me anything about righteousness or truth. I'll do what I want. But you know what? It only produces dryness. No inner joy or peace or strength. It's the same thing with the intellect as we see what's going on with the colleges and these things, anti-Israel things, these things that have been taught contrary to the Word of God, contrary to truth, and who Israel is and shall remain being till the end of times. Amen? These things are that they're being taught, they're nothing but complete 100% dry bones. They bring no life. It brings cisterns that can't hold anything for you. We've seen in transgenderism, people looking for, if I'm not satisfied, if only I was a boy, if only I was a girl, but not realizing that they were made precious in his sight. He made them as male and female from the beginning. Oh, how he loves you. He knew exactly how he made you. Amen. You are precious. You belong to him. The enemy will tell you, no, there's a different cistern. There's a different well that you can go to, and it'll bring life. It'll bring joy. It'll bring peace. It's an absolute lie from the pit of hell. Amen. The religion of the LGBTQIA. Now look, I'm telling you, we love all people. But standing, where is the well? The well's in the Word of God, the truth. God wants to take hurting hearts. He wants to set them free. He wants to reveal his love, his truth, heal wounds, restore them, and use them for his glory. Amen? You find out when you dig a well in that area, there's nothing but dryness. There's no hope. There's no peace. It's not what you're looking for. It's not what you're longing for. It's something that can't hold water. It's something that can't bring satisfaction. You know, this thing, we are either teaching truths or lies in our schools, in our homes, or to ourselves. Amen? We really are. I was thinking, this is something I had dug up just thinking of what, it's been about a year and a half ago, but we had a class here with the Denny's on the Constitution. In the beginning of the Constitution, it was amazing. Man, it was just touched my heart deeply. But I was reading things like the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania had a law requires that at least 10 verses from the Holy Bible shall be read without comment at the opening of each public school on each school day. Did you know they used to do that? Any child shall be excused from such Bible reading or attending such Bible reading upon the written request of his parents or guardian. See, that's how the nation was started. And here it is. It was started by being in the right well. See, it brought life. It brought peace. It brought vision and hope for a family's life, for a nation's life. Did you know they did that in most of the states? There was a time. I think about, you've heard of the Webster Dictionary? So his name is Noah Webster. Noah Webster wrote to James Madison October 16th, 1829, "The Christian religion in its purity is the basis, or rather the source of all genuine freedom in government. I am persuaded that no civil government of a republican form can exist and be durable in which the principles of that religion have not a controlling influence," he stated. "The moral principles and precepts contained in the scriptures ought to form the basis of all our civil constitutions and laws." See, that's what you call drinking from the right well. See, that's where I say I think America, I'm not saying America was perfect, but I think of people like this in our Constitution. We learned it was all wrapped around all these different scriptures. We were reading where all those that signed the Constitution, the Founding Fathers, got together, and they were trying to hammer out the Constitution. They couldn't do it. And of all people, Benjamin Franklin, because we hear a lot of negative, I'm reading something about him real quick too. He said, "Hey, let's go to church." Do you remember when they said that? Let's go to church. So all these Founding Fathers went to church. Then they shared a meal together, got back together, and within 15 minutes, they had the Constitution hammered out. Don't tell me this country was not founded upon Judeo-Christian principles. Not perfection. See, if we're founded upon those principles, amen? And you turn away from those things, I don't care what the reasoning is, what we hear now, opposite, Antifa, BLM, all of them, contrary and against God, speaking, magnifying an absolute, complete lie. Amen? Why is it a lie? Well, they're saying, no God. Amen? Family unit doesn't matter. Amen? All those things that are, as you know, are opposite of the truth of the Word of God. You ever heard of George Whitefield? Some say he was the greatest preacher he was in the First Great Awakening. And some say he was the greatest preacher this country has ever seen. But just want to read this real quickly about Benjamin Franklin, who we know wasn't a warm, fuzzy Christian type of guy. But he said this, he said, I happened soon after to attend one of his sermons, who? George Whitefield. And in the course of which I perceived he intended to finish with a collection. Things have never changed. George Whitefield could do it, we can do it. And I silently resolved he should get nothing from me. This is from Benjamin Franklin's own words. I had in my pocket a handful of copper money, 3 or 4 silver dollars, and 5 pieces in gold. And as he proceeded, I began to soften. The gospel, the truth, during a time where the nation needed to turn to the Lord. It was during a time where there was dry bones. We needed the love of the Lord. We needed people like George Whitefield. Handful of money, so I'm not going to give him anything. He says, I begin to soften, and I concluded to give him the copper. Another stroke of his speaking made me ashamed of that and determined me to give the silver. And he finished so admirably that I emptied my pocket wholly into the collection's dish, gold and all. See, that's what the power of the gospel does. Softening hearts, giving hope, breaking the lives of Satan that keep people in bondage. The gospel is the answer. It's the answer for this government. It's the answer for the schools. It's the answer for your marriage. It's the answer for your children. It's the answer for everything that ails mankind. So I say this again then, is about these cisterns. That statement, ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country, seems like it's long gone. It does. These are cisterns, cracked cisterns that cannot hold water, we talked about. So these dry bones, I believe, represent a whole generation, Israel and America today. Void of the life-giving water of Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. No life, no liberty, no vision or dream for the future. Just digging dry wells. Ezekiel 37, verse 3 says this. Then he said to me, son of man, can these bones live? And remember, he said, and I answered, Lord, only you know. You know, in Luke 18:27, it says this. This is Jesus, but he said, the things that are impossible with people are absolutely possible with God. So if we look at things in the natural, if we look at things in just our own ability, all you're going to see is dry bones. All you're going to see is your past efforts of failure at trying to measure up or trying to do this or that. You cannot do it in your own strength. You can't do it in your own ability. It's only by the power of the Holy Spirit that lives in you and I. Those that we see, we wanted to test because of their lifestyle. It is only the power of the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ, saving their souls, amen, giving them a new spirit that they can change. There are people that are just digging dry wells. Satan has blinded them. They're desperately looking for something to satisfy. But you and I have that answer. It was interesting, me and Gina yesterday went to Walmart for a couple of these boxes, and we see this lady, she's 79, she told us. And she said, oh, you guys are doing this too. And I said, yeah. And she said, I live in Prescott Lakes. And she was just telling us about herself a little bit. And I said, yeah, this is through Franklin Graham. She says, I hate that guy. And then she went on to basically to let me, we saw her, we talked with her, then we came back and saw her again. Because she's saying, hey, where can I find this? I don't shop in Walmart. And so we began to talk to her, and basically it was, basically she doesn't love Jesus, doesn't care about Jesus, nothing, she's bitter. She's filling that box up to try to help herself feel better. And we tried to minister to Jesus to her. When we left her, we prayed for her. Maybe, you know, we prayed for, Lord, save her. Because she said, you certainly will not see me in heaven. I said, and you certainly will not see me in hell. That was my last parting shot to her. Hate to say it, but Jesus talked more about hell than he did heaven. He doesn't want anybody going there. He loves all. He wants all to repent. But the thing was, is this people looking for water, not realizing it's in Jesus Christ. Can these bones live? See, the Lord had Ezekiel look at the severity, the hopelessness of the situation. That's why he says, I want you to take a good look at these bones. I want you to see, Ezekiel, how dry they are. I want you to see, Ezekiel, that it has been a generation since God had moved. You know, it seems like it's been a generation since God has moved in a true, powerful way. We've definitely not had a first or second great awakening. We've had little moves of God, but nothing like the first or second great awakening where the Lord moved in power. So the Lord had Ezekiel look at the severity, the hopelessness. See, so a lot of times you got to realize here, I know most of you, but maybe I don't know everybody. You can't be born again until you see how hopeless you are without him. Will you get done and say, man, I'm completely dry. I've tried looking here, looking there. Let me tell you that Jesus loves you. He is the answer. He never breaks promises. He's the promise giver. Amen. He's the one that said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. What you are looking for is only found in the person of Jesus Christ who died for you. He is God in the flesh who lived a perfect life, who died for you and I. All my sins were hung on the cross. All my wrongdoings were hung on the cross. And then when I put my faith and trust in him, his Holy Spirit comes into me, and then he begins to bring fresh water. Is it always a perfect journey? No. Am I still sometimes scratching at other wells? Yeah. But he's still faithful. He still reminds me. He still corrals me. He said, come on, come this way. His rod and his staff, they comfort me. Amen. He said, you know what? You can't change yourself or any situation you might find yourself in until you say, I cannot change this on my own. I cannot change this on my own. Amen. Amen. Remember that dry, what it means in the Hebrew, it's parched. It's like concrete. It's desert. It's barren. It's drought. It's dry. A solitary place. The wilderness. Let me finish up with a few things. Give me a few more minutes. Ezekiel 37, 4 and 5, as we continue here. Again, he said to me, this is Ezekiel, and he said God spoke to him again. He asked him a question already. Can these dry bones live? Then he said the Lord spoke, and I said, Lord, only you know. And again, he said to me, prophesy over these bones and say to them, you dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Lord God says to these bones. Behold, I am going to make breath enter you so that you may come to life. You know, prophesy, there's a few meanings for prophesy in the Hebrew. It's to speak or sing by inspiration, in prediction or simple discourse. So in this thing, it's not just prophecy, which we can prophesy and declare things in the future or speak things that encourage people over lives, but also prophecy means just declaring the word of God. declaring the gospel of Jesus Christ. When you see that vision, it talks about dry bones, and we read about it, what it said in Jeremiah about chapter 2, about him being the water, the spring of life, amen? That is talking about the gospel. Only the gospel brings life. You know, got me to say this. So the thing is, as he said there, hey, prophesy to these dry bones. Let me say this. Let me just continue with this. God didn't do a thing here without Ezekiel's mouth. We're going to go a little further and stop here. God could have just said, hey, stand aside, Ezekiel. Watch what I'm going to do. But did you know he didn't do that? Because the gospel and the church and the power of God flows through you and I. He said, Ezekiel, you prophesy to these bones. Ezekiel, you speak to these bones. Ezekiel could have said, I don't know, I don't think so. How many times does God want something for us to say? I don't think so, Lord. But you know what you're doing? But regardless of the situation or how people respond at the time, you don't realize, but you're speaking life and water to dry bones. That's what you're doing. You don't know what people are going through. You don't know how long people have been dry. The things that people have seen have been going through here. Never forget that our gospel can sound foolish, but it is the only thing that is not dry in this world. It brings life. It brings liberty. It brings purpose. It brings vision. It brings strength. Whether you're sitting in a jail cell or high up on the hill looking over the villagers, you can be as dry as can be, and this gospel will set you free. Amen. So God didn't do a thing here without Ezekiel's mouth. Prophesy, said, over these dry bones. Hear the word of the Lord, dry bones. He loves you. This nation has been dry for a generation, but I'm telling you, there's a valley of dry bones that God is getting ready to speak to, and it's going to be through you and I. You have the same spirit that was showing Ezekiel these things now lives in you and I. Ezekiel has no advantage over you and I. Matter of fact, he didn't have the Spirit of God living in you. He didn't have the blood of Jesus washing all his sins away. Amen. Before, now, and in the future. He did not have what you and I have today. So when we see these things, we read this, what the Spirit of God, I believe, is saying today in this generation, begin to speak to those dry bones again. Bring speaking life. I love this because what does the Lord says? I'm going to make breath enter you. You know, when Richie and I toured the school on a Friday, nobody was there. And later, you know, later on, because some of the things we saw, the school faculty began to apologize to us. So it's me and Richie and these two other individuals were, oh my gosh, just different things they were seeing. But to be honest, as me and Richie were looking at it, I just saw it as dry bones. And somebody needs to speak life to these kids. The hope. It's time. See, I believe God's going to do signs and wonders again. But I think it's going to be out there. You know, I'm afraid if God started doing signs and wonders in here, then we just keep the powwow here. Right? But where did Jesus do the signs and wonders? Out in the highways, in the byways. The power and the miracles of God, I think, are going to happen. College campuses, high schools, amen. Corporate offices, amen. The streets, wherever. I think God's power, God doesn't want to keep it in here. Matter of fact, a lot of those miracles that they were doing in the first church that were not in the church. They came in here to celebrate and worship, amen, and to grow in the Lord. Then they went out into those areas. Wherever your sphere of influence, you may not have much of an influence, but let me just tell you, as you begin to pray, let me say these things. Do not speak to dry bones like this. Are you ever going to change? Will you ever change? Are you always going to be a screw up? Are you going to do this? But what we need to do is start to speak to those dry bones, whatever got put in your heart. I see what God's going to do in your life. I've dealt with people, even my own household, that says, you can do that all you want, but it ain't going to make a difference. I'm like, yes, it will. I've quit arguing with people that want to argue with me. I'm done arguing about whether Jesus was born on December 25th or not. I'm done arguing whether the world is flat or not. I'm saying, what I want to do is speak life-giving, water-giving, prophetic gospel words to those dry bones. So that son or daughter, you just be praying for them. Thank you for bringing them from death unto life. Begin to speak to those dry bones. Amen. See, those dry bones, we don't know what all the problems were. We know that they had rejected God. We know they'd become so dry that there was no hope. But he said, what did he say? Ezekiel began to prophesy. You shall live and shall not die, to declare the glory of God. You shall come out of darkness into his marvelous light. You shall know him who created you. You shall be a son and daughter of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You shall be everything that God destined and designed you and made you to be. You start speaking to those dry bones. I don't know how long it'll take. We'll talk about that in the weeks coming. But you start speaking those things like what Ezekiel saw. You and I need to see those same things. Amen. So when that school faculty apologizes, as Gina, as you come up to the piano, thank you, Miss Gina. And later, you know, so that school faculty coming up, and what do we say to them? You bums? What have you been up to? What have you been doing? You know, we begin to prophesy. We did not say only God knows, because that's a wonderful thing. See, on that side of the covenant, in the old covenant, he was saying only God knows. But you and I on this side of the new covenant, we can see that. So we know the answer now. We know what that well of spring of life is now. We know what the answer is. So these things were written for you and I to encourage us, that Ezekiel says, I don't know. But you and I can say, Lord, we do know. We know what brings those dry bones back to life. You know, we did not say what only God knows at the school. Because of what was written approximately, you know, 2,800 years ago, we still know it was for today. God is going to bring these dry bones, these students full of hopelessness, to life. We said to Principal Crawford, we know Jesus can bring these dry bones back to life. So what am I trying to say? It's time to start prophesying to the dry bones. Amen. See, Ezekiel didn't say, let me wait and see the wind of the Lord. We'll see it. He said, let me see it. Let me see, Lord, a small demonstration that you can even do this. He didn't say, Lord, let me see the rattling now, then I'll talk. Amen. Lord, let me see evidence of it. No, he didn't. He did exactly what he was told to. There was no life in those bones when God told him, prophesy to these dry bones. So it's time to start prophesying to these dry bones over our family. Kids, let me just say kids. Amen. Grandkids, parents, family, those you love that are dear. Amen. It's begin to declare, I don't know, but it's one thing when you become so dry. This is how I pray for those I love ones. Lord, let that dryness and that darkness be something they can touch and feel, and that they'll turn to you. Amen. And I begin to declare and prophesy and say, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you that they are coming back to you. I'm prophesying like Ezekiel, or God said to Ezekiel, began to prophesy to these dry bones. So I am determined today, I hope you are, as we are in the time again, as things become very dry, it is again time to declare the word of God. It is the time again to declare the love of God. And when we do that is when we're going to start seeing the rattling. Let's not be, somebody says, I got to see the rattling first. God didn't say that. He says, you see these very, very dry bones, Ezekiel? You're going to speak to them. Let me just have one. I just want to read this. Can you stand up with me? Hallelujah. Are you still awake? Hallelujah. Do you love him this morning? Do you believe we're in a day and an age where there's dry bones that are coming back to life? Amen. I just want to read John 7, 37 and 39. This is Jesus. Now on the last day of the great day of the feast, this was a feast of booths. The last day, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. The one who believes in me, as the scripture says, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. That was like from that scripture what I read from you from Jeremiah chapter 2. Jesus was talking about that, saying, this is the day for that to take place. And he says, from the one who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. But this he said in reference to the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive, for the Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. So here it is. Those dry bones are brought back to life only by the power of the Holy Spirit. My much doing in my own efforts, we've tried that. Amen. Doesn't matter what law we make in this land, it will not bring life to dry bones. If you're willing, can you lift your hands and say, Lord, thank you. Even our own lives, thank you for dry bones, Father, being watered. Areas where things in our lives where we maybe become completely discouraged. It could be with children. It could be just different things, different struggles in your life. Let me just tell you that he loves you. Amen. He has not given up on you. And start to begin to say, Lord, thank you for the fresh flow of your Holy Spirit. Lord, we thank you for dry areas, even in areas of my own life where I become discouraged or given up or whatever. Lord, I thank you, Jesus, for bringing your life giving water back into those areas, Lord. Even areas that I thought were dry and dead, it could even been for a generation. There's many of those who've had a call and a purpose in God, and you've given up on it. Those things that have beaten down on you, amen. That God says, resurrect those things. The power of God is going to bring those dry bones back again. Those visions, those dreams are not dead. It's time to resurrect those things, amen. In the name of Jesus, to bring flesh and bone and all those things back together and go in the power and the love of God. God is doing that again in this generation. Hallelujah. We thank you for that, God, for the power of your Holy Spirit flowing and encouraging people. Dead things brought back to life. Dead dreams resurrected and brought back to life. But it starts with speaking, saying, thank you, Jesus, for bringing those things back to life. Thank you, Lord, that my past is gone. I go forward with you. Thank you for fresh vision and dream for my life, Father God, regardless how long it has been. We thank you for that. We bless you, Lord. We worship you. We praise you. We thank you for what you're doing in our lives. We thank you for the Holy Spirit moving. We thank you for stirring hearts. Lord, not only that water, but fresh fire. As Paul said to Timothy, he said, fan into flame the gifts of God that are within you. Fan into flame those things. That's you and I, fanning those things into flame. As we say, thank you, Lord, for fresh vision and hope through the power of the Holy Spirit as I declare the truth of the gospel for my life, my family's life, and for all those out there. We thank you, Father God, for stirring us in the valley of dry bones. How we love you, how we praise you, how we exalt you. Hallelujah. Amen. Do you love him today? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Yes, let's give the Lord a hand. Thank you, Father, for moving again. Thank you for what you're doing. Thank you, Lord. We're not waiting to see or hear a bone rattle, but we're going to prophesy over a situation in Jesus' name. If you don't know the Lord as your Lord and Savior, would you come up here? We'd love to pray with you. If you want someone to agree with you, if something you need prayer for, please come. We'd love to pray with you. For you that are going to go, I just pray that the Lord will bless you. Thank the Lord Jesus Christ for the best day of the week, Monday, amen. Being blessing for you. moving in God's strength. Amen. Every dry area of our lives coming to life in Jesus' name. We thank you for that today, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's people said, amen. Do you love him? Hallelujah.